scriptures, you're welcome to turn with me as we look briefly this evening at Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. As you're turning there, let me ask this. What kind of year has this been? What kind of year has this been in your homes, in your lives, in the world that God has made? For many of us, it's been a year of seeing unfolding in the world around us, a time of civil unrest, of political upheaval, even of mass shootings that seem to come closer and closer together. Personally, for many of us, it may have been a year of loneliness, of experiencing relational brokenness, of struggles at work, of depression. For others still, it may have been a year in which you experienced illness, or the weakening of aging, or even of losing. Has this been a hard year? Has this been a normal year? Maybe even for some of you, it's been a good year. But what kind of year has it been? God invites us to answer that question honestly. And in the passage we're going to look at very briefly tonight,
Isaiah answers that question for himself. He writes these words in a difficult time. So listen to these words from our God. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides you, who acts for those who wait. You meet him who joyfully works righteousness. Those who remember you in your ways, behold, you were angry and you sinned. In our sins we have been a long time, and shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name who rouses himself to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have made us melt with the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look. We are all your people. This is the word of the Lord. Isaiah opens his prayer by crying out to God, oh, would you tear heaven open and come down? In verse 2, you get a sense of what it is that he wants. When God intervenes, things happen. Fire starts. Water boils. When God intervenes in a broken world, things change. Isaiah is crying out to God because the world is broken, and he wants God to fix it. Friends, this is a prayer of faith that Isaiah prays. It is a faithful prayer. It might even be yours today. What would it look like, though, if God answered this prayer? What would it look like if he did what Isaiah is asking him to do? Well, verse 5, Isaiah gives us a bit of a hint. He says that God meets the righteous. God meets those who joyfully work righteousness and those who remember him and his ways, which sounds wonderful, except for the fact that Isaiah continues writing. And he tells us that we are not actually righteous. In verses 6 and 7, he reminds us that apart from Christ, we are all unclean. Our righteousness is like a polluted garment. You see, friends, our desire to see the world fixed, to see a broken world renewed, is actually a deeper desire than we do in us. Because it's actually
a desire to see sin and death be ultimately and finally.
It's a desire ultimately not only for God to fix the world around us, but for Him to fix us.
Well, you see, friends, God hates the brokenness of this world even more than we do. And because of that, God is not content to simply prune back the brokenness to a more manageable level. But He will come and tear the brokenness out. He will tear sin and death out by its roots. The prayer that Isaiah prays, then, is actually a prayer for God to finally fix sin. There's only one other place in the Bible where the heavens are torn open. And that happens in Mark chapter 1. And it's a familiar passage. Let me read it. It's verses 9 through 11. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Mark is telling us in those verses that God has answered Isaiah's prayer. He has torn the heavens open. He has come down in the person and work of Jesus. And in the person and work of Jesus, sin and death have been dealt a final blow, even though they remain in the world for a time. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean for how we live and for what we should do living in a broken world? I think verse 4 tells us. Verse 4 says, "From of old no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for Him." What do? We wait. Biblically speaking, waiting is not doing nothing. Waiting is remembering what God has done. It is looking for what God is doing now. And it is anticipating and hoping what God will do in the future. You see, friends, what we're waiting on is not progress. We're not waiting on the world to change. We're not waiting on the right policy initiative or the right politicians or even vague positive outcomes like just feeling better. We are waiting on King Jesus to return, crowned with glory and honor. And when that happens, every last stain of sin is erased. Everything sad comes untrue. We live in a world for eternity without pain, without tears, without injustice or oppression or sadness or death. It is a future too beautiful even to imagine. But when it happens, when it comes, when it becomes reality, we will find two things have been absolutely true the entire time. First, the pain and the sadness that we have experienced in this life have prepared us for that eternal weight of glory. And second, the joy and the pleasure and the glimpses of beauty that we get in this life have actually given us a taste of what that new world will be. Friends, what kind of year has this been? It's been a year in which God has prepared you for glory and is preparing you now for it. That brings us tonight to the Lord's Supper.